The mission of the Office of the State Auditor is to oversee local government finances for Minnesota taxpayers by helping to ensure financial integrity and accountability in local governmental financial activities. Julie Blaha is Minnesota's 19th state auditor. She was sworn into office on January 7th of 2019, and she joins us now on KEXE KBXE via Zoom. Thanks so much for being with us today.
Oh, it's so good to be with you this morning. And I love the music. I've been listening for a little while here. And,
oh, great.
Oh, so good.
Great. Well, thank you so much. So I think your office, especially, it's an elected office. We don't always know what it is that the state auditor does. What do you do?
Oh, it's a great question. I'll tell you, and it's different in every state. So if someone is listening and is not sure what we do, don't worry. You're not alone. It's not something you should just automatically know. So in Minnesota, the state auditor oversees almost $40 billion in local government spending. So it's a significant responsibility, especially because in Minnesota, most of our safety net goes through our counties and our cities and our townships. And so it's a really important level of government that really deserves some good support. We basically do that in three ways. We do examinations, we do analysis, and we provide support. So when it comes to examinations, basically we do audits. You know, people are familiar with those. We compare your work to a standard. We also do investigations. We aid law enforcement, particularly when they're working on tricky financial crimes. We also collect a lot of data. And since we get all this great data from our examinations, we want to put it in a form that you can make good decisions with and get it out to you. So we have a lot of data collection, and we build reports to help people use money better. And then finally, we provide support by taking everything that we learn and trying to develop good policy to keep government working effectively, and also providing education and resources to the financial people on the front lines of local government. So again, $40 billion, we examine, we analyze, and we support that work.
Okay, that's a lot of governments. If it's county and city governments,
it's city, county, townships, school districts, and special districts. So yeah, these are a lot of entities, and it's the stuff that is so valuable because it's the closest to the ground. I mean, if these entities struggle, none of us get out of our driveway. Our kids don't get to school. Our safety net falls apart. So it's an extremely important level of government. So it's such an honor to be able to support people here. It's also one of the least partisan levels of government. So in times like these particularly, it's even more important.
So you said something about aiding the local governments on how to use the money wisely and that kind of thing. Do you have any examples in the time you've been in office, like how you've been able to help a local government or what that means, I guess, is what I'm looking for.
I'm thinking about one of the things that we did in January that we got in just before COVID. And I'm glad we did, because we took our big reports, our city, township, and county reports, and we decided to look back over the last 20 years to look at some of the most important parts of fiscal health for a local government entity. You know, how much money is coming in, how much is going out, and what's the bottom line? So we looked at revenue, we looked at expenditure, and we looked at reserves. And what we noticed over the past 20 years was that local government has been pretty stable, that despite anything happening in the economy, they have responded to it in a way that has kept all of those numbers relatively flat when you adjust them for inflation. And I think that's a really important idea right now. If we think about where do we want the aid for to help us get through COVID and rebuild our economy, I'll tell you, local governments have demonstrated over the past two decades in Minnesota that they can be very responsible with this money, that they're creative, that when they work together and when they have real local control, they've been able to keep things stable. And I'll tell you, boy, stability is something I would love to have more of right now.
So that means their local governments are getting some of that federal CARES money. They're also getting state money for them to deal with additional costs having to do with the pandemic right now?
Exactly. Right now, we have the CARES money right now is for exact expenses from COVID, right? So it is in Minnesota, we're one of the first states that started getting that money actually from the federal government down to that local level. So it's still moving through right now. And I think local governments have been great with it. I mean, they are using it to keep public safety in good shape, to keep Health and Human Services in good shape. Now, that's not going to be enough, though. The biggest impact of COVID on local governments has been loss of revenue. It's not simply been direct cost, but it's also been that they've given people a break on property taxes, for instance. And as a result, they have less money coming in. It's not hitting the budget yet. It usually lags. If you take a look at local government health, it kind of lags the general economy. So we know it's coming. We know that big challenges are coming to local government. And ironically, the times when they had the biggest challenges for revenue is also the time when their services are at the greatest need. So you think about our safety net, we're really working it right now. Health and Human Services, pretty important right now. Public safety, pretty important right now. At the same time, it's when they've also had to provide some relief to their citizens. So that's where a state or a federal government really should step in and fill the gap. You know, local governments, because they're smaller, they're more nimble, they've got some, they're more creative, but they get hit harder by economic changes than a big entity like the federal government. So this is where I'm thinking, when I look at what Congress is working on, what the president is working on, boy, any funds they can get to local government, we know will be spent well and will be spent on things that actually affect us every single day.
That's Minnesota State Auditor Julie Blaha. We're finding out more about what her role is in state government and what her role is during this pandemic as well. I'm assuming you also are dealing with if local governments are not dealing with their finances well. Do you get involved on that level as well?
Oh, yes, you bet. You know, it's so important that we maintain trust with the public. And you think about it, our office, you comes right down to it. We're a big architect of trust. We know that when people trust local government, they engage. And the more people that engage, the better ideas we get. The better ideas we get, the better results we get for a whole community. So we want lots of people to be involved in local government. So if a local government is not doing what they're supposed to be doing, yes, we need to step in and we need to fix that right away. You know, often audits are our biggest work. And, you know, I think a lot of people think of an audit as punitive, right? If you hear, I'm going to be audited, usually do not have a happy reaction. Now they're really not intended to be punitive, especially when you're talking about institutional audits. A lot of people think of them as investigative, and they do have some investigative stuff. You're going to catch it. But the biggest point of an audit is preventative. Ideally, what you're doing with your audit is making sure all the systems are in place so the problem doesn't happen in the first place. Now, Minnesota is a pretty good government state. So as a result, I don't always get the fun headline grabbing stuff, which is good. It's good for Minnesota. You know, a little rough for my poor communications person. But I, when I'm doing my very, very best work, you don't know that I'm there. Right? Ideally, I'm catching things before they're a problem. And I hate to say this to a journalist, but a big part of my job is to wreck headlines. My job is to get in so you have nothing interesting to talk about. Now, if we do catch things, like recently, we've had issues around how people use purchasing cards. We're particularly watching any place that has a kind of a credit card that you use. We all need to use those, right? A lot of things you cannot order anymore with just a purchase order. You have to have some sort of credit card situation, but you've got to watch those carefully. It's where we're seeing a lot of problems, since it's one of the newer ways to pay for things for a government entity. You got to make sure you're checking that stuff tight, and you're checking, not just checking what they're spending the money on, but that the vendors are real. We had a situation where they had phantom vendors. This is one of my favorite titles, where we had a person who was making up vendors online and then charging to them. But those vendors all just were fronts for money going back into his own account. And he had names that were close, like the Anoka County Game Fair. Now, if you know Game Fair, I live in Ramsey. I live a mile away from where they hold the largest sportsman's event probably in the country. It's not called Anoka County Game Fair. It's just called Game Fair. And again, people drive by this 2 weekends of the year usually at my place. So it's, you know, those kind of things. It was good. The guy did a pretty good job. Now, sometimes we'll catch things that are more obvious, like in the Shakopee School District, for instance, they had a superintendent was misusing his credit card, and he was simply just buying sports memorabilia, alcohol, things that were clearly not intended for a school use. And that was, you know, that was about $80,000 in lost revenue for our kids. You know, that's a teacher, you know, so it's really important that we get the money where it's supposed to go because it has a big impact. We worked with local law enforcement and the school district, found the problem. And not only did that person, you know, have a consequence, he's in jail right now, but the school district was able to build a better system so it won't happen in the future. So we're not just about catching a problem, we're also about preventing it in the first place.
How big is your office? How many employees are there?
We have about 80 right now, and there we have about 20 that are in greater Minnesota. You know, I think one of the things I'm proudest of is that we have five field offices out in greater Minnesota, so that these jobs, which are good jobs, right? These are good jobs, good union jobs. These are wonderful professionals. And since the whole state contributes to our office, I want the whole state to benefit from the jobs. So we are working hard to maintain those offices, you know, in Duluth and Moorhead. I would love to have an office in Bemidji. If I could have if I was playing, my dream office would be to be able to be in Bemidji. There's such a good college there that produces some really great accountants, frankly. I would love to be able to locate that there. And because we're so technologically nimble, we're able to serve the whole state from any location. You know, this working from home has been relatively smooth for us in the auditor's office because we've always had our people working all over the state from whatever location they're in. So not only was it good to handle a pandemic, but it's also great to, again, get these good jobs spread out across the state. The whole state deserves access to this work, and we need to be as close as we can to the people that we serve.
So how are you as Minnesota's state auditor involved in how the state is dealing overall with COVID-19 and the pandemic?
I have to say, this has been the most surprising part of my job. Now, of course, nobody could have predicted necessarily this level of pandemic happening at this time. I mean, there were certainly signs that it could happen, but at this level, I don't think any of us expected. And so since I'm on the what's called the Executive Council, that is the governor, the lieutenant governor, the attorney general, the secretary of state, myself, all of us statewide elected constitutional officers. If there's going to be an executive order that lasts more than 5 days, that our council has to vote on it. We have to approve it with a majority of our votes. So of the eight, I've had to vote on 82 executive orders, which I have to say is probably more than any other auditor, maybe even more than Stafford King, who served for over 40 years, probably had to vote on. And as a result, my job has been to bring this auditor lens, this local government lens, this good process, keeping the public trust lens to all of these. So, for instance, when we vote on issues around schools, those executive orders, I'm bringing to it my lens as a former math teacher. I taught math for a dozen years, and also bringing to it my auditor lens. So when I look at the school thing, I'm looking at it as a practitioner. So I'm glad that, for instance, in the schools, we are looking at how coronavirus is behaving in a locality. Important. We've got some local control there. I like that a lot. But we're also considering the other side of the equation, which is infrastructure. I think people sometimes forget that what the schools are considering is not just the behavior of the virus, but it's also the resources they have available to respond. And that can vary a bit around the state. So when you're looking at the decision of a school district, you have to look at the case numbers, those kind of data, but you've also got to look at how physically large are our schools? What kind of HVAC systems do we have? What's the makeup of our staff and their ability to be in person? That's a big part of this. So I was so glad that was considered in all of these equations as well, not just COVID, but also infrastructure. And I did like the level of local control that was included because it's not going to make it easier, right? These are tough, tough decisions. But I know that when teachers and parents and superintendents and school boards get together and really hash it out, that's our best chance for good creative solutions here.
Well, you mentioned math. The Minnesota budget has been described as a painful math problem right now because of everything that has happened. $4 to $5 billion. Is that, are you involved in how the state deals with something like this? Or how does, can you explain that to us a little bit? How's the state going to get through this?
Those are all great questions. My role is, again, since I'm so focused on local government, our work right now is to get some fresher numbers to the legislature when they start making their decisions. Typically, our data, we wait till it's audited. We want it to be perfect, right? And an audited data is the best, but it's the latest. It lags. It takes about an extra year to get that. So we're going to be collecting some additional data, fresher data this winter, so that when the legislature comes back, they could see where local government is right now. And so I think as we're getting through this, when we look at where we put our money, that's the math problem, right? Which variables get which level of weight? I could really get nerdy on algebra here, but I'll spare your people. Not everyone loves it as much as I do. But so one of the things that we're seeing again is that we know that the state support of local government is going to be really key. And so as we're looking at that, I want to make sure that we give local governments a priority that they're going to need, because they're the biggest arm of any state program. On average, is our local government. Schools, biggest expenditure in the state. Health and human services going so much through the counties. Roads, that's what townships do. They build roads, you know. So we have to make sure that local government gets the priority they need. No program's going to work without the infrastructure, you know, in your neighborhood. So my role in that is to make sure I've got local government numbers. Minnesota Management Budget, they'll do the state numbers. My job now is to help get you good local numbers so every level of government is accurately understood as we make these tricky decisions.
You know, we recently talked to the Attorney General of Minnesota, Keith Ellison, and one of the things he talked about that his office, and I know Governor Walz and Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan are very concerned about, has to do with housing. Is your mm-hmm. office involved in terms of housing and finance at all? Because evictions mm-hmm. are on, people are worried about this federal money stopping and how people are going to be able to keep their apartments or homes in these times.
Oh, absolutely. One other role, kind of one of the other roles that I don't think a lot of people know about the state auditor, is that I serve on a number of boards. I'm on the Public Employee Retirement Association, so I work a lot with pensions. I also work a lot with housing. I'm on the Minnesota Housing Authority Finance Board. And so we are talking a lot about how do we keep housing strong in these tough times, because it's really difficult to rebuild an economy when people don't have stable housing. So the idea of evictions, it's huge. You know, we need to stabilize people's homes. I think about this as not only the auditor who's looking at infrastructure. It's hard to build infrastructure if nobody can afford to use it. So we've worked so hard on increasing affordable housing. If we have a wave of evictions, that's going to undermine, I mean, decades of work on that. So if we can provide the support so that people can stay in their homes, that's huge. That's going to be undergirds all of the work around housing. But it also is a big part of any community. We want to keep people in their communities. I think about particularly where your listeners are right now. We don't want to see people having to move away. You know, we're building these communities. These are our neighbors. We want to keep them here. And eviction relief is a big part of that. So we need to get the funds to landlords so they can afford to keep people there, because we need that. We need people not only to keep their homes, but we want landlords to want to keep providing affordable housing. So again, it's like so many things. There's two sides of that equation. If you support, if you help stop evictions, you may, if you do it right, you're also supporting the landlords that are providing affordable housing. So let's do both sides of those equations. And that's going to need some money from the federal government to do it right.
Well, I'm going to be honest here. I did not expect such a lively conversation with Minnesota State Auditor.
I have to say, as somebody who spent, several years trying to get eighth graders excited about fractions, you do learn a lot about trying to add some energy to what's a difficult conversation. But I know that if people can get engaged in their local government, we're going to get such great things. This is where the action is. So excited to get to work with, I think, the most important level of government in the world.
Well, I hope we can have future conversations, but I want to, before we go, tomorrow is the primary in Minnesota. The general election is on November 3rd. I want to give you a moment to be able to say what you think is the importance of getting out and voting.
Oh, we absolutely need everybody involved. Again, the more of us that are involved, the more likely we're going to get a good decision. So what's also great is whenever you're voting, the top of the ticket is always fun. You know, personally, I'm excited to be, you know, I was excited to put my ballot in for Tina Smith for U.S. Senate. That's fun and that's important. But you know what? Keep looking down that ballot. If you've got primaries on your county commissioners, again, we're just talking about almost $40 billion running through those levels of government. They matter. Take a moment, pull up their websites, give them a call. They'll call you back. If you have a candidate that's out there running for a local government, they will call you. So take a look at those. Those have such huge impact, and it's often also where people begin. And so you can get in on the ground floor of some great, great leadership. So absolutely vote. And even more importantly, pay attention to that whole ballot. Look all the way down the ballot. Really interesting stuff that's happening at every level.
Yeah, turn it over for the judges as well. I mean, there's
definitely
much going on. Yeah.
And give them a call. Again, they're so excited someone's paying attention to their races. And I'm saying that as the state auditor, not everyone is as excited about my race. Isn't always the most dramatic race either. So I promise you, those of us who are working at these levels will connect with you. And really importantly, we have a huge impact on your life. So yeah, get involved all the way down that ballot.
You know, I wonder if some people are really disillusioned with politics right now. We're at a very strange time, but and I don't know if people are stepping up to run for local offices or county governments and that kind of thing. What would you say to that as well?
I think I've seen some of the most exciting candidates we have right now are candidates who are running for city council, school board, county commissioner, township boards. Again, what's great about it is if you're feeling a little disillusioned, right? You know, I understand that. Federal government, I watch that stuff. It just seems so bogged down. And you see tensions even at the state level. You know, if you want to take a break from that, talk to your local, your people. You know what? Because you have to get things done. You've got to clear the roads. You have to keep the hospital running. You don't have the luxury of an endless fight in local government. In local government, you have to get things done. Because unless you're going to go to the store and your neighbors are all going to talk to you and ask you what's going on. So there is something where you have to figure things out. And as a result, you can't just bog down in partisan bickering. You got to get it done. So if you are feeling disillusioned with politics right now, go local. There's a great place to talk to someone who cares. You're going to talk about whether or not they should pave that road in front of your house. You know, when my mom was on the Road and Bridge Committee from Burns Township, I'll tell you what, no luxury. We had to get that road paved, so we couldn't fight forever. We had to figure things out. And there is something great about that. So you want to renew your faith in government and all the good government truly can do, get local.
Yeah, you know, you reminded me of years ago talking to a city council member from northern Minnesota who said, I actually care about the curbs. I care about the sidewalks. These are really important things to our community.
Talk to a soil and water conservation district member. You know, if you care about the environment, you could talk about all these large things. You can talk about these very big federal issues, or you could talk to your soil and water people. They get it on a level that impacts you. That's going to come out of your faucet. And if you can start with that very local issue and start from there and go to the big issues, I think it's going to be more effective than starting from the big issues and try to come down. So if you want to get involved in the environment, you go to soil and water. You want to get involved in criminal justice reform, talk to a city council member. You want to really improve equity in health and human services, talk to your county people. Every big issue plays out in a very real and very important way in your local government. So again, go local.
That is Minnesota State Auditor Julie Blaha. I hope we can continue the conversation.
All absolutely. Right. Happy to come on anytime.
All right. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
You are listening to the Extra Hour of the Monday Morning Show.